Hey, America.
Start listening now.
All right. Well, welcome to another week. We have decided this week to take a leaf out of Hoover Phonics book, and we are firing Sam over Zoom.
Wait, what?
Sam, you're out. Your role will now be filled by the Yoik guy from Kano. Yoik guy, take it away.
Son of a...
And welcome to another expendable episode of 12 Points from America, a Eurovision podcast from America. It's a dumb country. I'm Eric.
I'm Derek.
I've been fired.
And I'm Danny.
That's right. Should we rehire Sam?
Yeah, I guess so.
Thanks, guys.
Welcome back, Sam.
Woo! You're dicks, you know that?
Yeah, well, you know what?
We had to hire you back because the EBU is expecting you.
yeah. Without you, this ship starts to sink. Let's be honest. So,
I'm the duct tape. I'm the WD-40. I'll take
That's
it.
That's right.
All
right, duct tape. Tell them about the socials.
I just walked into a new nickname again, haven't I?
You sure have, duct tape. Socials. Great. Let's go.
All right, you can. All right, you can hit us up on Facebook or Twitter at 12pointsUSA. You can email us directly at 12pointsfromamerica@gmail.com or just scope out our website, 12pointsfromamerica.com. You could also check out our Redbubble. It's a great way to support our site and get some sweet, sweet merch with some fabulous non sequiturs that will make sense to absolutely nobody except for you and us. It's a little secret club that you can join by buying stuff on Redbubble.
That's right. That's how we know that you understand our jokes.
I suppose there's only one way to go as far as talking about new news stuff.
Yeah.
We got to talk about Hoover Phonics.
Yeah, I think we have to start with Hoover Phonics. If you don't understand our incredible, timely humor, we found out today, now we talked about last week that Luka, not Luka Doncic from the Dallas Mavericks, but Luka from Hoover Phonics had been removed from the group and replaced with their original vocalist. And at the time, it was kind of like, cool. Yeah, that's kind of cool, right?
It's just another band, cool. You know, changing their line. That's normal.
Yeah.
It's like Menudo, only Belgian.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yes.
Today we found out, not as cool. Not as cool. Apparently, they booted Luka over a Zoom call and that was it.
She was kind of blindsided by
totally blindsided. That there wasn't a discussion like, hey, we've been thinking, you know, we have an opportunity to bring back what is her name? Gilka?
Geika? I'm not sure if it's Geika or Geika. G-E-I-K-E, I think.
Okay. So
my Flemish is
so good. They brought back Geisha and they didn't it was just sudden and impersonal. A lot of things are more impersonal than they should be these days because of COVID and everything, but damn.
Still.
Yeah.
Oh.
There's a way not to be a douchebag about this, and I think they found the right way to be a douchebag about it.
I feel like Hoover Phonics is just really gunning for a biopic to be made about their lives, and this is like, you know, the hook into Act 3.
They are like becoming very quickly the Icelandic hockey team in Mighty Ducks 2 or 3.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
That's two. Yeah, that's definitely two. Yeah, this is... this is lame.
It breaks my heart. Like, musically, I really like them. Like, I really, really like them. But,
What
if this is what happened to Noemi Wolf?
Now, Derek, you're the resident Hoover Phonics stan on the show. How do you feel about this revelation?
It's disheartening. But the original story mentioned that Luka was kind of on board and she was going to start to pursue a solo album that Alex was going to produce or help with in some capacity. And I was like, okay, the band's going in a different direction and they wanted to give her a leg up. But now it's sort of like, oh, surprise.
Maybe not so much.
I will say, though, that this is setting up an incredible bit of personal headcanon that maybe Luka will come back as a solo artist, represent Belgium in 2022 and just win the whole damn show. Like, on her own.
This is
my new headcanon and
redemption.
Yeah,
can
you be the one in the audience after she wins the award in the press conference and who raises her hand and asks, hey, any animosity between you and Hoover Phonics who failed to qualify in 2021?
And then she just holds up two middle fingers.
I have this much animosity right here. These are the same folks, by the way. I had forgotten about this until Derek mentioned it when we were doing our traditional blathering on forever before we start recording. That sounds like a complaint. It's not. I like chatting with you guys. Anyway, Hooperphonic were also the only people who like refused to participate in the Love Shine a Light thing in the Europe Shine a Light, the thing that replaced the grand final this year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And is it just ego, basically? Like, why would you be like, no, I'm not going to do this thing that 40 other countries are doing besides I'm too good for it or some nonsense?
I can't crawl into Alex Callier's head. Yeah. I'm not sure if I want to. It's
nor should you. Yeah.
Dark and spooky in there.
Gross in there.
Yeah.
Those bugs and
Luca,
stuff.
Luca, if you're listening, which I'm sure you're not, but if you were, or this message somehow gets to you, we wish you all the best in your future career, and we will be cheering you on from here. Come on, 2022. Belgian TV, call her up.
Yeah. Is one of the broadcasters more likely to reach out to her than the other?
Well, she is Flemish.
Okay.
So it would probably be the Flemish broadcaster rather than the Walloon French-speaking broadcaster.
Got it.
So they go back and forth. So we'll see.
Mm-hmm. Well, either way, do it. Let's see. Let's look at some 2021 news that's not aggravating. We've got news about the semifinals. 2021.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Big news, actually. The EBU has just said, they just announced today that they will actually just take the, not the running order, but just the semifinal allocation of who's being drawn into which semifinal, which half of each semifinal. They're just going to take that blueprint from 2020 and roll it right on forward to 2021. We've got the same artists, but the same countries are competing this year as we were supposed to have for next year. So they're just going to roll it forward. And I think it's a great idea.
Yeah. I mean, we talked about how we kind of had like the elite boy semifinal in semi one that has, you know, Sweden and Ukraine and
elite boy
and Russia and so on and so forth. And then we had the wacky zany semifinal with Switzerland and all these other weird ones. And we still get that. We're still going to have that, which is great. Are the folks that drew into like the first half of the first semifinal, are they still in the first half of the first semifinal or are they redoing that part?
It's the first. Yeah, they've drawn for semifinals and halves of semifinals.
Okay.
So yeah, it's all the same. It's all the same.
But not running order?
Not running order. That'll be decided once all the songs have actually been released so they can kind of see what flows, what works.
So we don't know that the new song by Samantha Tina is going to blow the house down in whichever semi that is. But we don't not know that.
I mean, it'll probably blow the house down. We just don't know which position it'll be doing it from. We know it'll be in the second half of the second semi, but that's about it.
From whence shall it blow the house?
Yeah. Mm. I think the only way she can go, by the way, is this isn't true. I think the only way that she should go, I should say, is to be even crazier.
How much you want to bet she's going to send like a very straightforward ballad? Like how much you want to bet that that's the way she's going
to
go with it?
No. Yeah.
I can't imagine. I hope it's called Still Breathing or just like it's called I Am a Composer and she just screams that over and over for 3 minutes. I don't know. I of all the artists that are coming back, she's the one I feel like I can't see changing it up that much.
No.
For me, it's her or Tornike Kipiani for Georgia.
Oh, yeah.
He's not going to go ballad. He's not going to go ballad.
No.
Yeah.
Well, what if he did, honestly? What if he just like completely does a 180 in tone shift? Yeah.
That's about as likely as Dadi Freire singing opera, I think.
Why not?
Which well, I would actually pay good money to see.
I would do that as well.
Well, Kipiani met the love of his life during last summer, so all of his songs are like happy and joyful now.
Love it.
Fantastic. Let's see what else we got. Oh, we have songs.
Yeah.
Oh my God, we have songs. I'm excited by the fact that we have songs.
Absolutely. Albania, they do us a solid. We are so grateful for the delegation of Albania for not only being the first to send us a fleet of songs, but pretty solid songs as well. I haven't listened to them all yet, but I'm pretty happy with the level of quality for Festivalen Cognis this year. It's going to be a good one.
I listened to a few, and yeah, there are some good ones. A few quick highlights that I remember. Just going to name a few things here. We've got Enis Naziri. I am going to butcher these names, like every word of it.
As is tradition. Go on.
Yeah. With Pendes, which means penance, I guess. That one is pretty good. Big, big, big ballad. There's a cool one there. I quite liked Enshi Nasun. Am I even in the ballpark here, Sam?
Let me actually double check. Like, again, my Albanian isn't that great, but I think, Enshi Nasufi. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's how it's pronounced.
All right. Well, that was kind of close.
Yep.
That song has a kind of a fun, mildly retro, mildly modern pop, almost like a Carly Rae vibe to it that I quite enjoyed. The one that really, really jumped out to me, though, is a fellow that goes by... I'm saying it stood out. This is not because I thought it was amazing. or anything like that. It was just the most memorable for reasons that if you listen to it, you will understand. A fellow that goes by the name of Castro Zizo.
Oh, yes. Good
that
old
was my
Castro.
Favorite.
This is wild. It has like pirate vibes.
What type of pirate? Are we talking like Flogging Molly like 2005 vibes?
Electro swashbuckling. I don't quite know how to describe it, but it's crazy. Okay. That one was fun. I'm not saying it's my favorite of the songs because it probably isn't, but it's the one that stuck out like a sore thumb or possibly just a really nice thumb.
Okay, I'm just looking at Castro, his entry on Wikipedia.
He's a pirate.
So he is actually a pirate. Now, he does a lot of voiceover work. He was the voice of Donkey in Albanian Shrek. He was Marlin in Finding Nemo. He was Mike Wazowski in the Albanian dub of Monsters Inc.
Wow. He's got some good roles.
Stop drilling, you hit oil.
Yeah.
Olaf in Frozen. He's
how
fear
is the same
in
guy all of these? This is like Frank Welker level. Yeah.
He's Albania's just like, not that big, man.
Okay.
Probably
he's just the guy that does it.
Too.
Fair enough.
Yeah. So he's also evidently the Minions in Despicable Me. So blame
Jesus.
Him. Yep.
I bet Vin Diesel still gets to voice Albanian Groot.
It's in his contract.
Or maybe it's this guy. I don't know.
Unyam Groot. Anyway, now that I've tickled that little bit of linguistic curiosity, that was fun. But yeah, Castro Zizo. Woo.
That would be a fun one to see get through. I don't know how likely Albania is to pick that. But I said the same thing about Telemovoish, and we know how that worked out. So,
Yeah, you never know.
Yeah. What else we get?
Yeah, got some kind of bittersweet news out of Germany. It looks like our buddy Ben Dolich is not going to give it another go for 2021. He's decided to decline sending another song. He's going in a different direction. So we wish him well on whatever his future is. And Violent Thing, I guess, will just be crystallized in our collective memory.
Yeah.
Too bad. Seeing some of his like live performances from the various home concerts and stuff didn't give me as high hopes as I wanted to have for that as a performance piece, like in the contest. He just seemed so bland as an onstage persona, despite
he is
the
exceptionally
song being
young.
Despite the song being so good.
Yeah, despite it being a bop.
Yeah.
Some people are just studio musicians.
Mm-hmm.
I think he could have done a decent job. I mean, they would have groomed him a bit more.
Oh, yeah, but
yeah. But hopefully the positive lessons learned from Germany this past year will carry through to 2021 because they sensed something that was such an improvement over their 2019 entry.
Oof, boy.
Like the jump from Sisters to Violent Thing.
That was the glow up of 2020 for sure.
Light years, seriously. So hopefully Germany will continue on that track.
Here's hoping.
Mm-hmm.
They better.
They'll be hearing from 12 points from America.
Yeah. Germany, I want to speak to your manager.
Angela Merkel, we got words.
That's right. Yeah, that's great.
All right, what else we got? So it looked like the Bulgarian delegation were teasing some sort of announcement to be popping up this week. It looks like Victoria has a new song. Is that right?
That's right. I didn't write down what it was called. By the time this episode releases, you'll be able to check that out.
It's called Ugly Cry.
That's right. The one. Thanks, Derek.
She's perfectly in tune with her last song.
Yeah, excited to see the latest Billie Eilish-esque song, I assume, because she's great. I'm excited for that. The way that it was being teased by the Bulgarian Eurovision people, though, was a little bit weird because, at least for a moment, illogical as it seemed, it was like, are they announcing the song now, like in November? And it doesn't appear that that's the case, but the Eurovision people were like, watch for Victoria, something's happening. I thought that was weird. That's all I'm saying.
They enjoy having fun with their social media. Keep in mind, this is the team
who
that
wants to do that.
Follow us on 1-2 Points USA.
Yeah. We never tweet anything fun. That's not true. Please follow us.
Actually, we have more fun on our account than we do on
Please follow us. We're desperate.
We're so lonely, craving human contact.
Not that desperate. We had a little bit of mail this week.
We did. And we're actually going to get to that question. We had one last piece of news. Somebody wrote in our little shared document that Sanit got a remix.
Oh, I wrote that.
Sanit is her own remix.
By Benihana, apparently.
Yeah. So she's released all these covers. She also released an original song a couple months ago called Breathe. And it's really good. If you haven't checked it out, it's great. You should check it. Yeah. And it got a remix just today. Today being the day we're recording this, which is going to be a few days in the past when this releases, if not more so, if you're way behind and you're listening to this in, I don't know, February of 2021. Hi. Hope things are way better. Anyway, Benny Benassi, who is a big time EDM guy, got his hands on Breathe, and released a pretty bumpin' remix that popped up in my YouTube recommendations today. And I thought, I know what I'll do. I'm going to mention it on the show. And I did.
Nice.
Goals. Yeah.
Cool. Oh, Sunit.
Yeah.
Lover.
This concludes Sunit Watch.
So, Sunit Watch. Yeah, but yeah, as mentioned earlier, we do have a bit of mail in the mailbag.
It happened.
It happened. It
finally happened.
Woo. Yeah, so again, feel free to reach out to us directly on email, 12pointsfromamerica@gmail.com, or Facebook/Twitter at 12pointsUSA. We heard from our friend Carter, who submitted a question via Twitter. He says, new and big fan of 12 Points for America. Thank you, Carter. I have a question for the show. I'm sitting here rewatching the 2019 Grand Final, say na 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 indeed, and I realized I want to know which two Eurovision acts would you like to see collaborate any year?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Is this Jimmy Carter?
I didn't know he was a fan.
Yeah.
That's what he listens to while building all those houses.
Mm-hmm. Got to do something. So I guess that makes sense.
Yeah.
Gosh, two acts together.
Here's the thing. There's a bunch of acts that I think would sound amazing mashed, but because it's the people themselves, there's a lot of things like I love Mons and I love Hatari. I don't want to ruin both of them with each other, but I would love to hear what that is.
Well, yeah, I was kind of thinking something similar, like the whole Ser Hatari mashup is always a classic, of course.
I want to hear Duncan Lawrence sing Hatrid Munsigra.
Ooh.
I could get behind that.
I want him to be a sad boy about it too, still. That'll be great. That's my answer. I'm going with that.
Okay.
Not just do the chorus?
No, that's it. He's doing the whole thing.
Hmm. The growls and the melodic. Yeah. I love it. Eric, go ahead.
Okay. I have two answers for this.
All right.
One serious, one extremely not serious.
Yeah.
We'll start with the real one first. How about we do that? We'll start with the real one. I would like to see, and this is just two acts from the same country in consecutive years, even, I think, but that I think would gel really well together and would come up with something cool, which is Polly Geneva and Chris Costa.
Ooh, yeah. I was actually thinking, who would I match Polly with as one of my guesses, yeah. But yeah.
I think that would be pretty interesting. If we want to go in the other direction, there was a live performance where Chris sang Bones with Equinox at like a pre-party or something like that.
Mm.
It was awesome. So I would love to hear another one of those too. Pair Chris with basically anyone, I guess, is fine. As far as my joke answer goes, I would like to see Lise Asia paired with the Gronka people. That would be that'd be great. Or just like, or Rambo Amadeus and Bucks Fizz. Let's do that.
Ooh.
Burn it to the ground.
Give me a chance to make my mind up.
That's right. Let's do it. Or Hatred Moon Abba, whatever. You know, like there are so many.
Abba Moon Sigra. I love that's it. Right. Yeah.
Abba will prevail. Yeah.
Well, they do. That's what they do.
Gosh. Mons and Leslie Roy comes to mind. Like that would be.
Work.
Oh, that's some pop that would gel well together. Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be pretty solid.
I really love this question. I've been thinking about it a bunch, and I'm going to stop giving suggestions so that other people are talking besides me. Derek.
I just heard this question and I can't think of anyone.
It's hard, like when you have literally like
hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of trying to think of who would...
I mean, looking at the direction, I keep going back to Chris Kostov, like looking at the direction that he's kind of going with his recent releases, I'd like to see him with somebody with a bit of edge. So like I'm thinking Vostok and Hatari would actually be really fascinating.
That'd be sweet. Do you think Chris would do that? Never mind the logistics for the moment. Would he do it?
Chris wouldn't, but Vostok would.
Yeah. And I could also just go like way too similar of genre and want to see the sort of Eurovision jazz perfection that would probably be Salvador Sobral and Rafael Guilazzi doing some sort of beautiful Portuguese-Italian hybrid piano jazz gorgeousness.
Mm.
That would just be way too cool for everybody and they would know it and everybody would hate them for it. But they wouldn't care because they have the jazz. They have the power of jazz and everything is okay.
They have the jazz. Like they've Utah. Got... Two NBA jokes in this show.
Wow.
Did it. NBA draft is tomorrow. Check it out. That's also in the past if you're listening to this after releasing. Anyway, yeah. Oh, I thought of another one. How about Sergei Lazarev and Diodato in like a ballad off?
Ooh. Ooh. Okay. I could, I could see that working. I'd be all right.
But then
with
I got to look at Sergei.
Well, just keep looking at Diodato. You'll be all right.
Yeah. Fine.
You'll be all right.
All right. How about Philip Kirkorov and the Russian guy from Story of Fire Saga.
Dan Stevens?
They're basically the same guy.
It's like crossing the streams. I don't think you want to do that. That's dangerous.
Oh, God. Would that actually end up causing like a 75-foot Philip Kirkorov to go rampaging through the streets of New York?
Only if you think about it.
Oh, God. Change the subject. Change the subject.
Junior Eurovision.
Woo!
We're back. We made it.
We're back.
Ooh, Junior Eurovision. So we previewed six countries last time. Sam knows what they are.
Yeah, last time we spoke about the Netherlands, Poland, Russia, Serbia, Spain, and Ukraine. So this time we're going to be chatting about the other six in this year's competition.
Some real countries, finally.
It was supposed to be seven, but unfortunately, as I think we've mentioned before, Armenia did bow out last minute due to the conflict that was going on between them and neighboring Azerbaijan. So today we will discuss Belarus, France, Georgia, Germany, Kazakhstan, and Malta. And at the end of everything, we will all submit our votes to see who the 12 Points from America winner of Junior Eurovision would be.
We know those kids are waiting for this as much as anything.
Oh, totes.
Absolutely. So why don't we dive into it? What are we going to go with first?
Why don't we just go alphabetically? Seems simple enough. We'll start with Belarus's Arina Petereva with Aliens. Aliens.
Oh, James Cameron's Aliens.
All right. So that was 12-year-old Arina Petereva from Belarus with Aliens. Who wants to start it out?
Start it out.
Okay. Thank you, Danny.
Just with the comment, at least, that Belarus has a very recognizable brand in what it sends to Eurovision. And this brand is good pop music that I hate. Like, it's just it's clearly well-produced. It's rather well-written. I can at least tell that intellectually, that it's well-structured. It has a nice build. And in fact, I like when it switches into English. It kind of, I don't know, it has a different feel that I feel develops really well. Unfortunately, I just don't like this type of music. I just don't like the trap-influenced pop that has had some really strong currency in Eurovision, like, the past 2 or 3 years. She's fine. The song is serviceable to her voice. But also there's not really any fireworks.
All right. Eric.
I liked it. I thought it was rather good.
Of course Derek did.
Of course he did.
Of course Derek loves it.
I think if we compare it to Poland from last time, I think the backing track on this one, and I was thinking about Poland a lot, it has a lot more like cynicism and sort of anger to it.
Remind me of Poland again.
That was I'll Be Standing by Alatras.
That's right. That's the young girl, yeah.
The young girl. It just didn't quite sync up. And I think this one has a similar backing track, but the singing, I think, pairs really well with it. Like, she sounds angry or a little bit more aggressive, and I think that really works for it. I don't know what she was singing about, and the switch to English really surprised me, and I thought it worked really well.
I dug the switch to English too. There isn't a ton of English this year, it seems like. I can't remember if that's just a more normal thing in junior, that there just isn't as much English or what.
I think there is actually a language rule that all countries have to have majority native language or official language.
Oh, it does?
Yeah.
Okay.
Some English can be put in there, but I think it's at least 50%, give or take.
Yeah. I like the song too. It's moody. It really has an atmosphere to it. We'll call it Big Evanescence Energy, or B for short. That sounds a bit like an insult, depending on how you feel about Evanescence. But I mean it in terms of just the sort of feel to it. It has a bit of gravitas that you don't normally get from a junior Eurovision song, I should say. You know, between this and the song we finished with last week, the Ukraine song, artistically, those two songs push the boundaries more than just about any junior song I've heard before. And how much you enjoy the songs is subjective, of course. I enjoy them both. But I'm just imagining, like, a song like this going, and then right afterwards, the Netherlands, you were my best.
Yeah, I was just about to say the same thing.
like,
never been my meal. Yeah.
How do you... I like that song too, to be clear. I like that one a lot.
They scratch very, very different itches.
Right. Like, they're on different planets in terms of what they're going for and how they're approaching this contest. And that's awesome. That is super, super cool.
I have to agree with you, Eric. I like it when a junior Eurovision song isn't afraid to veer away from the everything's beautiful and first love and best friends and the world is wonderful and we can do it. I like it when there's a little bit of a twist. And I've said it before, in the context of a Ukrainian song from a couple years ago, Junior, where the kid is basically singing about being a child during wartime. And I really respected the fact that the country was willing to send a song like that to Junior, where the image is happy, fluffy, let's sing about candy and chocolate, which has won for Georgia in the past.
Yeah, let's sing about candy and chocolate.
I'll have to show you the Georgian songs from a couple years ago, buddy. But I appreciate when they try to send something a little bit different. It gets even more interesting when you put it in the context of what's going on in Belarus right now. I was kind of pleasantly surprised to see Belarus sending a song that was a little bit more serious and not trying to gloss over with some sort of everything's beautiful, hooray for Belarus. I'm happy they didn't do that. It's also interesting to know that this was a song that was selected internally by Belarusian television. This is the first time in, I think, many, many years, if at all, that this is a fully internal selection by Belarusian television. So I have even more respect for the artist, knowing that she pushed a serious song and is doing it well. Vocally, I think her vocals are solid. She's only 12 years old, but I think she's got a lot of power in those vocals.
That's the BEE.
That's the BEE right there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Put that on a t-shirt. Yeah, I like this one. I like this one a lot, actually. Sorry, Danny.
So you mentioned you know what the lyrics are. Could you tell us what the song is about?
Well, it was written, I mean, just looking at some of the translation of the text, the sky is crying, we are blind aliens, we believe only in our luck, the sun is tired, the aura of light has lost its way, and there's not enough of light.
Damn.
I like that.
Yeah.
That's a crazy thing to be singing when you're 12.
Yeah.
It's the world we live in, you know, yeah. But especially in Belarus, but God.
I mean, granted, it should be said, Arina is not listed as the composer or lyricist for this song, but she's portraying it very, very well.
All right. What do we got? What do we got next? What child is Danny going to insult this time?
That would be Valentina from France.
Oh,
I feel like we have a Valentina every year.
That's just San Marino haunting your dreams.
Is there a Valentina in the contest every year? Is there a Eurovision quota that says it?
As a bylaw.
50% in your own language, one Valentina.
One Valentina. Someone's got to do it. Anyway, what's Valentina singing?
The song is called J'imagine. I imagine. Okay, that was France's entry this year. Valentina, not Minetta, with J'imagine. All right, who wants to start?
I'll do it. J'imagine all the people living... No.
Go home.
I am at home.
Good.
It sucks out there. This really feels to me like an earnest attempt to kind of recapture, rebottle some of that magic of Bim Bam Toi in terms of just the overall vibe and so on. Having said that, that attempt failed spectacularly. We've talked about the raising of the artistry in Junior, and like this, it's bland. It just feels really cookie cutter, generic. Like I don't like it. I don't think it works. And somebody please agree with me.
Danny?
Oh, crap.
So, I like this song.
Oh, God!
I concede, however. Once again, I must say, intellectually, this is a dumb, dumb, really dumb song. I also like it. It does the same thing that Bim Bam Toi did last year, which was we take... And it's kind of the same thing that the Netherlands is doing. I mean, it's believable because she's a young girl and she's clearly singing about something poppy and fun. And it's just, I don't know, it's more... It's believable to me. It's easy to sing. I will say this is an easy song to master, and she does a good job selling it. It's not a complex song, and that'll probably hurt it in most people's opinions, but you know, this song can live in my top 10.
Well, considering there are only 12, there are 12 songs this year, so that's not
this song can live in my top 10.
Okay.
Also, I do have to say, occasionally when I was watching the music video, I had to do a double take. There's this one dancer behind her at the beginning when she's in that like rehearsal hall space who looks exactly like Mickey from Spain, and there's this one kid in like chestnut colored chinos near the end who is straight up Benjamin Ingrosso. I would not be surprised if he was just like, hey baby, I'm gonna be in your music video and you're gonna like it, and he just comes and he dances is on some French street, and she's like, okay, Monsieur Enclosa.
Your headcanon is a strange place to be, man, and I like it.
In this, she's also like, she's like an ex-resistance fighter, and she's like puffing on a cigarette while she's on like a phone in her boudoir. She's like, yes, Monsieur Enclosa, come and be in my movie film.
The hell is going
okay,
on?
Okay, yeah, you lost me.
This has turned into top secret or something.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to try to get this train back on the rails.
Don't.
I'm kind of in the same boat as Danny. Like, I realize that the song, like, during these 3 minutes, it's fun, it's cute, it's poppy, it's charming. It's very much, I would say, less like Bim Bam Toi and more like Jamais Sans Toi, which was the French song from the year before Bim Bam Toi. So, like, before we started doing this podcast, it was, like, a little bit more junior, really. And I feel like this brings up a question that I have almost every year. There
well,
are songs...
Song, yeah, it really is putting the junior in junior Eurovision.
Exactly. There are songs at junior that are songs that could stand on their own even at the senior contest, and then there are songs that are specifically junior. And this is so junior. Like, I realize I am not the audience for this song or this type of song. I sometimes feel slightly creepy for even admitting that I enjoy this song because it is so junior. But it's cute and it's charming and it's winsome and it will be stuck in my head for a really, really long time. And I don't even think my normal trick of imagining Bob Dylan singing it would help. It's not gonna help. It's not gonna help. It's gonna be stuck. Derek, this is obviously a very divisive song for three of us so far. Where do you sit on this?
What's the vote count for or against?
Sam and I both like it. For Eric, he'd rather like do a Pepto-Bismol shot.
Ooh, minty.
That's not what I said.
We're winning at the half, so we get free shots. So one thing I'll say in general, I really like France and Eurovision, even Junior Eurovision, because they have such a strong identity. Even though it's in French, even if it was in English, I would know instantly, this is France. This is definitely a French song, except France from 2020, which is not.
But how can you truly tell that this is a French song? Because they don't have the Eiffel Tower festooned over absolutely everything.
It's so culturally established. I think they know who they are and they know what they like and they always kind of stick to that. And I appreciate that. I really, really do. Even if it's government mandated French culture, I kind of appreciate they're not trying to produce a generic fun song that'll get votes. It's really risky in a way to be so niche in that regard. That said, I think this song is kind of a mess. At the beginning, I felt like I was being inundated with a lot of different things up front, and I just couldn't get a sense of what the melody was supposed to be. I like her as a singer. I think she's good. I think it's definitely targeted at a very young audience, and I'm not that person. I'm not that audience. I can still appreciate it, though.
Yep. She is 11, but she looks like she's a couple years younger than that, and it sometimes throws me off, seeing that the singer from Belarus is only a year older than the singer from France, and yet I feel like vocally and stylistically, they're worlds apart.
So in terms of things that are very junior, how does this compare to, for you guys, to the Dutch song that is also very, very junior?
This
was maybe came across a bit better overall than this did.
I think that this comes across as even younger.
Oh, it absolutely.
Oh, does. I'd agree. Yes, yes.
Yeah. I feel like this is full on junior. I feel like Netherlands is like tween.
It has a very middle school feel to it. But the Netherlands also feels a lot more cohesive.
Yeah, a little bit less chaotic. But to have the fact that we have songs like France, a song like the Netherlands, and a song like Ukraine all in the same contest, it shows how interesting Junior Eurovision is as a venue for musical competition. It's very difficult to compare apples and oranges, and yet somehow you end up with a winner at the end of it.
I'm really curious to see what Europe is going to go for. Like, yeah. Do they want something that's a little bit kiddier, or do they want Ukraine or whatever?
Yeah.
We'll see. We'll see.
Yep. Shall we roll on to Georgia then?
Oh, yeah.
All right. So the last song added to this year's lineup was Georgia. They are sending the song You Are Not Alone by Sandra Gedalia. All right, that was 10-year-old Sandra Gadelia from Georgia with You Are Not Alone.
Ten. Dang, okay.
Yeah. Oh, that's her age. I'm sorry. I thought you meant how many songwriters were involved in making this song.
Sadly, it's surprisingly enough, just two.
Just two?
One Jeez. Singer, one songwriter. Like one, I mean, one composer, one songwriter.
That song took me on a journey, and not really in a great way. That was a lot of effects. That was a lot of tropes. When the song started out, I was like, oh, so this is like kind of modeled on the powerful ballad that has done very well in standard Eurovision over the past few years. But then, oh boy, got some, you know, modulating up a key, singing in English suddenly again. This was not a cohesive song, if we're going to talk about cohesion, which we keep coming back to. Yeesh.
Yeah, I kind of felt the same way. It was so many different pieces of five different songs kind of squished together in a way that made it really difficult to follow and kind of difficult to wrap my arms around.
Yeah.
It's not a problem with Sandra. She's a good singer. And
yeah, yeah, like when I said, the song started out and I'm like, it's a powerful ballad. This is going to be one of those moving ballads. And she suits it really well. But then the song does not stay that.
Agreed. It just kind of bounces all over the place. And I couldn't do it. I'm just interested, like, when they do the reprise at the end of the performances, like, what part are they going to show? You want to show the hook, you want to show a memorable portion of the song, and yet when the song changes...
What snippet could they take that would be representative of this song?
Right, when the entire structure of the song changes every 30 seconds, like, where do you go? And it's interesting, considering that the songwriter, Giga Kukianidze, he has written a ton of Georgian Eurovision entries, including winners. So he wrote it for 2008, 2010, 2011, 2012, 13, 14, 15, and 16.
You're talking junior Eurovision winners?
Junior Eurovision songs for Georgia, including winners.
Like, did he write Biscabi?
I'm pretty darn sure he did.
Huh.
Knocked that one out in an afternoon.
He's a bee.
Yeah, so yeah, 28 and then 2010 through 2016. So he wrote three winning junior Eurovision songs.
Hmm.
Yeah, I don't think this is going to be his fourth.
Yeah, no. This song does a lot of things really well. The problem is it does a lot of things really well. Like, there isn't any one thing in the song I can point to that's like, that's a problem or that's poorly done. I don't think there is one, but it's
there's two good songs in here cobbled together by two okay songs.
Two and a half. Like
it's got Icebreaker syndrome.
It's so all over the place. And yeah, like Icebreaker. Although this has a better chorus than Icebreaker did, I think. It's a better song than Icebreaker was.
Dare you.
Just speaking the truth. And there's a lot to like about the song. There's a lot to like about the components of the song, I should say. Song as a whole, not as much.
Mm.
It's too bad. Like, if this kid has a great live voice that's this powerful, like she can nail this, that might not matter as much on the stage.
Yeah, and it should be noted that Sandra does have stage theatrical experience. She's just come off of a extended theatrical tour of a musical.
Oh.
Yes, she played Aaron Burr.
Sweet.
Yeah. I mean, she can sell it. She can sing it and she can sell it, I think. But this is the vehicle that she's been given. And where do you go with it? Derek, what do you think?
I feel like we had the same conversation last year with Kazakhstan, that it was just doing all these different things, but doing it really well, almost like a showcase and less of an actual song. I think I agree with everything Eric said. It's just that, yeah, it's doing everything and it's doing everything really well, but each of those things doesn't necessarily go together. I was totally on board for it, though. I enjoyed it. I think she can sing live well. I think this could do really well, just regardless.
I mean, you compare it to Kazakhstan as a vocal showcase. Well, Kazakhstan came in second last year.
Exactly.
Yeah, damn near won.
Yeah.
And if she nails it, it's going to be up there.
Yeah.
Like, the song is a mess, but like, it might not matter.
I don't see this doing badly. I really don't. I don't think people are going to be overly concerned about the complexity of it, but I mean, if it's that good live, so we'll see.
We'll see. This is going to be a very interesting little wild card to keep an eye on. Are we ready to move on to our next song then?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. So we go from a country that has won Junior Eurovision three times to a nation that is debuting at the competition. Germany, the old standby at the senior competition, has finally dipped their toes into the water and they're sending Susan.
He wants to speak to the manager.
Oh,
no.
Who I believe is turning 14 the day after the competition with her song Stronger With You. You gotta stand up and help me, please. I'm on my knees begging you to stop All right. That was Germany's Susan with Stronger With You. Anybody?
I really should trust our listeners and simply say, just listen to the song and you'll know. The song's going nowhere. This is really boring. This is really something that I've seen in Eurovision and Junior Eurovision before. This is really boring. This is, dare I say it, the sisters of JESC 2021.
Oh, let's not say things we can't take back.
It's really a snooze fest. Oh, okay. I will say, okay, the thing about Sisters was that it was also sung very poorly. She has a great voice.
But this song
is really just a nap and a half.
I don't disagree.
You love it, don't you?
Uh-oh. Eric's got that look in his eyes.
Don't. Don't you dare.
It's okay. It lost my attention early on because it's very, very safe. Really safe.
This is coffee shop like overhead music.
Yeah. By the end, it had regained my attention a bit. It grew on me a bit. That doesn't change that it's generic. But it's okay. I thought it was okay. It was okay.
I'm in a similar boat. For Germany, a country with such a rich and deep and innovative musical background, for them to, like, I think back to when Kazakhstan debuted, and it was a big deal, because, you know, countries don't debut at Junior Eurovision super often, so you feel like you want to make a splash when you're there. And when Kazakhstan sent their first entry, it was a big deal, and they sent, like, a well-known name for kids' music over there, who ended up actually doing really well on America's Got Talent this year, just for the record, so...
Hey, what? Really,
yeah, Danelia Tulyeshova. Yeah, look her up. She's brilliant.
Huh.
But I was hoping that when Germany said that they would step into the ring, that they would take that kind of tack. And instead, they sent something super safe and super inoffensive. Again, the singer isn't the problem. Susan is a fine singer.
Yeah.
She was on The Voice Kids in Germany this year. There's nothing wrong with her. I look forward to seeing what her future holds. There was another song in this national final because they basically had the top kids sing two songs. It was this one and a song called See You Later, which was an upbeat pop song. And I have no idea why they went with this. If you could find her version of the song See You Later, it's a cute little bop and 1,000 times better than what they sent.
To be fair, this is the country that picked Sister. I'm just...
But they also nearly sent Violent Thing. Then again, that was an internal selection.
Yeah, and he's not even from Germany.
I'm brokenhearted to see that Germany didn't send their A game. But maybe they're just trying to dip their toe in, see how it works, and then send their A game next year.
And that's exactly what it feels like. It's safe. Safe is the precise word for this song, I think.
Safe never works.
No.
People
love doing it.
They're afraid, you know? Safety is comfortable.
I suppose.
Oh, be innovative. Send kids Hatari next time. Come on.
Yes.
I'm waiting for it.
Come on, Iceland. Come to Junior. You know you want to. Derek?
Derek's been quiet.
It's fine. What's our next song?
I'm with him. That was basically what my review should have sounded like. Except it's bad. What's the next song?
I didn't think it was terrible, but, you know, 15 seconds in, I'm like, is this what we're getting?
Yeah, you kind of knew where you stood. Shall we roll on to Kazakhstan then?
Always.
See what last year's silver medalists are doing this year?
Yes, please.
Yes.
All right, so they are sending Karakat Bashanova with the song Forever. All right, so that was Kazakhstan's third ever Junior Eurovision entry, 12-year-old Karakat Bashanova with Forever. Who wants to start?
They're back. That's a song, and I honestly think it sounds like a winner. It's tough for me to get, like, really bought by what is clearly a you know, I don't feel manipulated by the epicness of this song in a way that classic epic sound can sometimes make me feel. For some reason, a combination of her voice, the lyrics in English at least, were good at persuading me that this song deserved its epic treatment. I really like this. That's all.
All right. Danny sincerely likes it. All right. And Derek looks slightly surprised.
Derek's done.
Derek, do you wish to comment? He's waving dismissively.
I thought it was really good. I didn't get the it's a winner impression. I don't know what's keeping me from pushing over the edge and saying it's a genuinely great song, but the epic scope of it I think was good, but it didn't get swept up in it as much. It just felt a little artificial to me. I can see this doing well though. Yeah.
You gotta be. I was convinced. Derek was not convinced. Well, I'm with you. I don't know why it was, you know, usually this is a coin flip on whether or not I think this is just the trick of production or whether there's some actual artistry at work. For me, it feels like this is actual artistry.
There's definitely something. It feels like it's taken from a movie soundtrack. And then, you know, when they put her in front of a green screen and insert her into scenes from the film as part of it, it, you know, had that sweeping epic kind of tone to it. And when the soldiers started rushing past her, and I was kind of like, okay, I see where they're going with this. I have no idea what this song is supposed to be about, though, especially with like the historical context, if there's like a specific event or a conflict it's referencing.
I do know what it's about, and I think I will hold that until after at least Eric has said his piece, I suppose, because I know what it's about. Okay, I will comment, but I will refrain talking about topic. I definitely get the epicness. I definitely get the sincerity from Karakat, but I feel like the song itself is trying so hard to be epic, and it's constructed to be epic. And granted, that worked really, really, really well for them their last two times at Junior. Both of the song that I thought was criminally underrated, their debut entry only came in sixth when a lot of people thought it was going to win altogether. And then last year when they came in second, like I said, I feel like Kazakhstan is making a major, major effort to come across as big and polished and epic. And it doesn't have to be. I feel like Karakat is able to express her message genuinely enough that the song could be stripped back a lot and kept a lot more organic. And I feel like I would be more brought into the message and the story with that genuine story rather than just the orchestration and the sweeping visuals. I don't dislike this. I'm not saying I dislike this. I'm saying it's a lot, and it doesn't have to be a lot. Eric?
Yeah, it's heavy. It's really heavy. It feels a bit like Oscar bait.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like they put out these big, big epic things in December to be like, we want all the awards, and that's secondary to any sort of minutia or whatever. And to be fair, Oscar bait works. There's a reason studios do it. You know what I mean? It doesn't always work, but it can work. And that's kind of where I'm at with this song. Like it probably could work if the visual presentation is there, if the vocals are on, there's a pretty good chance this is it. It feels like. But man, they are going for it. They are channeling their inner Ludacris and gunning for that number one spot. Is it going to work? I don't know. It absolutely could, or people could just kind of see through it. I don't know. It's good. It's well done, but it's Oscar bait.
My response. I think the thing about Oscar bait is it often can't see the forest for the trees, and it's so fixated on this big picture that it starts to lose track of the small things. And I think
like
looking at the battle sequences in the video, I feel like there's a human story to tell visually in that narrative. And it's just soldiers running past her. And I don't understand the context. I don't know how she fits into this story. And I think,
well, Sam, what are the lyrics?
Yeah.
What is the meaning here?
I'm not saying she did not write the song, but it is about losing a father. And she actually had her father has passed away. So the song is very personal to her. So it's just about the memory of a father who is gone. And when I'm actually watching the video, I can't tell if the people running by her are soldiers or if they're firefighters.
They had swords.
They were Mongols.
Oh, yeah.
I thought
okay.
It was like the Golden Horde.
Okay. I think we're looking at different parts of the video. But at the end, I think there were firefighters running past.
Okay.
Her father was Genghis Khan.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's Kazakhstan. I think they're
possibly
wouldn't be surprised
he's in the line
if there was
somewhere.
But yeah, it is very much about her late father, at least from her point of view. That's what she's singing about. And, you know, looking at some of the lyrics. All right. So the translation of the last chorus there from Kazakh is, "Your singing bird is flying above. My gratitude to you is endless, father. Silently exhausted, I'm keeping my way without you. You were my shining sun, but father, I know I feel that you're by my side. I love you."
Holy crap.
And now I'm getting weepy. And
oh, man.
It's okay. We'll just cut that out.
It's So yeah, it's definitely direct heartstring tugging.
Mm-hmm. That is about how it feels.
Yeah. Even if you don't speak Kazakh, it is very, very much.
That definitely makes me think about the impact it's going to potentially have with her singing it on the stage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know how like at the end of Proud, in the background they show
the daughter,
Mrs. Proud, with her kids.
Mrs. Proud.
She the Proudlings. In the Proud family.
Yeah, the Proud family. Yeah. If they pop up like the picture of her, you know, like she nails the vocals, they pop a picture of like her with her dad. It's it's over.
Yeah, we're off to Nur-Sultan next year. Yeah.
Yeah.
Parseltown?
Yes, they all hiss at each other. That's what Kazakh really sounds like. How to Piss Off the Entire Nation of Kazakhstan in 5 seconds or Less by Samantha Ross. Hi.
Thankfully, Borat 2 came out, so he's going to absorb a lot of those.
He's going to absorb the blow.
Did you actually hear that the tourism board of Kazakhstan has actually adopted Very Nice as their official slogan? Have you heard this? They have.
That's amazing.
They seriously
have.
They're leaning in. They are leaning in.
Anyway, any mention of potassium?
Well, all other nations do have inferior potassium.
That's what I'm saying.
We already know this.
Leaning in. Lean in.
Yeah. All right. So back to the song. Can I just say like the one big bugbear about this? The fact that the entire last 30 seconds or so, she's not singing.
I'm fine with that.
I feel like for when you're capped at 3 minutes, so many countries try to pack so much. Look at Georgia. Mm. So much vocal gymnastics. And the fact that they don't have her singing for the last denouement of the song, part of me is wondering what they're going to be doing for staging, because they are leaving something very open.
It's for the crying.
They might.
I mean,
but you mean for her or for me?
Whatever.
Okay.
I imagine they're going to have her do something. I mean, they're holding back for a very specific reason. I don't think they wouldn't. They'd just be like, okay, you're done now at 2.5.
Right. I'm just thinking
mic drop, boom.
A very slow mic drop.
Yeah.
I mean, could they do hologram? Like, what are they?
Hollow dead.
Yeah. Are they going to pull that?
Seems like poor taste.
Yeah, I agree, but who knows? Oh, man.
That's not a real suggestion.
That's not a real suggestion.
That's horrible.
That's definitely the Hollow Dad. Thanks.
Yeah.
Hollow Dad is just reminding me of like Ghost Dad.
Starring Bill Cosby. That's also problematic for its own
reason.
Yeah,
seriously. Can we just.
Next song. We just,
Malta? Are we rolling on to Malta?
We're rolling on Malta.
What's Malta singing?
Malta.
All right. That is Chanel Monsignor with the song Chasing Sunsets.
Is the most Maltese name I've ever heard.
Chanel Monsignor. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. 9 years old from the happy island of Malta, singing Chasing Sunsets. Let's give it a listen. Okay, that was our last song of our lineup, Malta's Chasing Sunsets by 9-year-old Chanel Monsignor.
Is this just Malta's cottage industry? Is just cultivating amazingly mature-sounding female voices from very young singers?
Oh yeah, that's what a diet of pastizzi and tinny will do for a young voice.
It's just the last two from, like, what was it, Destiny for Eurovision 2020? Mm-hmm. Was that her name?
Yeah,
yeah.
Also a junior winner.
Yeah, and then Chameleon from last year. It is just... Malta's on a roll. It's a shame that this song is a bit too simple. That's all. I don't know what else I can say. The song is just a little too simple, both lyrically and structurally. It's inadventurous, and it shows off her voice. I don't think that's going to be enough for her to win, but it is just astounding that she is 9. Poland Singer is also 9, but I can kind of tell that she is. I'm absolutely floored that this Maltese singer is not at least 15.
Yeah, I don't know what's in the water over there.
It's salt. They can't drink it.
But it's... just musically, like I think that's what their biggest industry is. It's tourism and Eurovision, and they get them started early over there. And you know, bless them, they're damn good at it. And this is a country that is Eurovision obsessed.
Yeah, like, yeah.
When Gaia Kauchi and eventually Destiny won Junior, they and their songwriting teams were given the nation's highest civilian honors.
That's right.
It's a big deal for them, and this is following in a really, really good trajectory. I think this is a quality song. It is a bit simple. It is a bit straightforward. I don't think it's got the punch and the immediacy to be a winner, but every time that the song rises from the verse up to the chorus, like I feel my heart lifting just a little bit. And
there's just something that is a little bit unique about the way that the chords progress at the very beginning of the chorus.
Yeah,
slightly different from what you would expect, and it is pleasant. I just don't think it's enough to wow me.
Right. This to me is a great. I can imagine like singing, hearing this in a concert, and being really impressed by it. Mm-hmm. I can imagine, you know, enjoying this as a song, but as a competitive song, I don't know where it's going to fall. And that kind of breaks my heart because I actually know one of the songwriters.
Right.
Emil, if you're listening to this, I love you. I miss you. But it's quality. It's solid. She can absolutely be proud of it. I think Malta can absolutely be proud of their performance this year. I don't think it's going to win.
It just doesn't jump over that final barrier into being very good.
Yeah, it's a solid track, but it just doesn't have that next level, I think.
This is where I'm going to disagree. I think it is very good. The thing that Danny mentioned, my music theory chops are not what they used to be, but there is that little something at the start of the chorus where it moves a little bit differently. I think that's fantastic. It takes it from being too simple to being intriguing. And oh my God, there is a maturity and a subtlety to this girl's voice. I cannot believe this is a 9-year-old.
Yeah.
Somebody get the long form birth certificate or whatever. Like, there's no way. This is such an evolved voice. It sounds like somebody who has been doing vocal training for longer than she's apparently been alive.
They get them started real early over there.
This, I understand the concerns. I agree. I'm not really sure where it's going to land because and a lot of that is just the field as a whole, you know? Like, there's so much intrigue. There's so many different approaches to Junior Eurovision now. I really have no idea where Europe's going to go. You know what I mean? And like, I don't know that there's a song like Superhero last year that kind of bridged that gap a little bit and appealed to being kind of kiddish, but also being a little more mature. I don't know that there's anything that hits that sweet spot this year. So I don't know where this is going to go. I don't know where any of them are going to go, to be perfectly honest with you. But this is really good. This is really, really good.
I also appreciate the fact that the song sounds like it could be sung by an adult, but the subject matter is still innocent enough.
Mm-hmm.
It's about throwing your cares away onto the open breeze and seeing where life will lead you. It could be skewed young, it could be skewed old, but I appreciate that the way that they're styling Chanel, she's still young, she's still a 9-year-old, and I feel like Malta rarely, if ever, tries to scale their people older when it comes to they let their kids be kids, basically, is what I'm trying to say.
What you're saying is that she is young and they know what to do.
Oh, don't you dare invoke that song. Oh. I thought we left the Portuguese entry from last year in the past.
Never.
But yeah, they generally let their kids be kids, and I appreciate that. Derek, we haven't heard from you yet on this one, have we?
I'm an Eric side on this one. I think
again, yeah, thank you.
I think this one does a really good job of sort of straddling the line between being immature or very youth oriented, like France was, and more mature the way, let's say, like Belarus or Kazakhstan are. It's doing both, and it's doing it very, very well. I was really intrigued by this one all the way through. I think visually, the music video really helped. I thought it was one of the most, it's the most interesting video of all of them too, which I know is not part of the contest, but still it kind of visually I was swept up in it. Even though I didn't know what she was really singing about, I could parse it out on my own, as opposed to Kazakhstan where I didn't get the whole father thing. I can tell Malta's passionate about this, and it really comes through, and it doesn't feel like they're just going for the win, that they're in it because they genuinely care about it and they want to have a good song in the contest, even if the rest of the Europe doesn't follow along.
Which we kind of saw in their entry last year. Where they came in last. An incredible song that came in last, yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
It kind of scares me to think that this song might not do as well again, but that's a whole conversation about the voting system, which I think is just not working.
We can kind of come back to that, I think, maybe after the show and see how what happens. And yeah. So, that was our roster. Those were our 12 songs. I think it's been a long night, and I don't know about you, but I need some time to mull things over.
Yeah.
I need to come up with my rankings. So I say that the four of us should regroup next week, talk about our votes, come up with our definitive winner, and maybe talk about a little bit about voting and other questions about Junior Eurovision before the show next, that would be the Sunday after Thanksgiving is the actual Junior Eurovision. So how does that sound to you guys?
Let's do it.
Seconded.
Sweet, sweet. Well, in that case, folks, you at home can always hit us up on Facebook or Twitter at 12pointsUSA. You can reach me directly at ESC Insider on Twitter. You can email us directly at 12pointsfromamerica@gmail.com. Eric, you are also on Twitter, is that correct?
That is correct. Eric is tweeting. E-R-I-K is tweeting. Check me out. I'm very funny.
It's true. He is. But until then, this has been fun, guys. Catch up next week.
Yes.
Sounds good.
Until that time.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, I've been Samantha.
I've been Eric.
Oh, cool.
Fight.
I've been Danny.
And America.
Stop listening now.
He sings for Pearl Jam now.
And there's our stinger.
Yeah, that's the one.
Just get that out of the way.
Yep.
All right.